Dog Pound.
Hello! Welcome to the Defined Comedy, the only Dante podcast you'll ever need, ostensibly. I'm Paul Cantrell.
David found Dog Pound in the house.
Dog Pound, tonight. Yeah, you were doing that during the intro. You're getting amped up.
And getting amped up.
Doing a little Arsenio, was that what that was? Moving the fist in a kind of circular...
It kind of started out as an Emilio Estevez Breakfast Club.
Like punching, fist.
Just punching.
Yeah, like the fist punch walk that he does when they all...
That's one of my favorite things in cinema. It's just him like doing like a punch walk thing. And then he just, he like screams. He goes, oh!
And he
like,
shatters the glass.
He shatters glass, yeah.
He also, you're just giving me a report, he does like some back handsprings too, right?
Yeah, what's going on with that?
This is like the evils of marijuana, like PSA.
Right? Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot what is that?
They get high, and then that happens.
Like, yeah, but what's the name of that?
Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness. Yeah, thank you.
Cautionary Tale.
Yeah, colon a cautionary tale. Have you ever seen that?
I've heard of it. I think I've seen clips here and there.
Okay. But... Yeah, it starts out with like a an address to the audience.
Oh, really?
With like this. Like this really doom and gloom preacher addressing the camera saying, dear viewer, this could happen in your town.
Yeah, it's just way over the top, heavy handed. I don't remember the plot. It's more fun to speculate. Don't they go on like a kill crazy rampage or something in the movie? Is they just go completely nuts and become
Yeah, they like
sociopaths?
Go to like a juke joint or something. I don't really remember.
For some reason, that felt racist, but I know it's not.
Juke joint?
Yeah. I don't know why. It's...
Hey, if anyone knows if I've accidentally...
No, it's not. It's not racist. I mean, to my understanding, at this moment in my life, it is not. It's just one of those things that sounds like it is.
No, it absolutely does. You're right. And yeah.
Because it's a combination of so many different sounds.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it seems like something that I could have like dredged up. From like people had forgotten that it was like a racist term, then I'm like juke joint, like we were just
stop
talking.
Saying, please stop saying.
We were just talking about an article that you wrote that had like 99% positive feedback, and then one person who just kept saying that we need to get rid of the blacks.
Yeah, it was a weird experience. So just a quick update, I guess, because we haven't done this in a couple of weeks.
Oh, hey,
yesterday was. I've been sort of crusading up on my soapbox about the need for reform in the industry, the restaurant industry specifically, in terms of keeping people safe late at night when they're closing up shop. And it could be one of those things where, like, a few years down the road, you know, I would love to think that in generations to come they'll say, oh, isn't it crazy that we didn't used to do this, like, automatically?
Right.
But for now it's not the case, and as with most things, it's not the case until you normalize it and enough people get on board. But it was an overwhelmingly positive experience, although my day was bookended, pardon me, moments after posting it, I received a comment saying, basically telling me to go fuck myself because of turning something into anti-gun rhetoric or whatever, propaganda, I think the word was. And then everything else was super positive, and then I was about to go to bed, and the last thing I do, I check the right before I'm turning in for the night, and I get this thing saying that I basically missed the point. Which is that it's just this horribly racist thing, and I don't know. It's better to just kind of moderate by not moderating, and just if you do nothing, then these comments don't really – they just kind of are pending, you know?
Right.
Anyway, I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of how all that stuff works. But yeah, other than those two, super great experience.
Yeah.
So
it's
far.
A very good article.
Thank you, sir.
I enjoy it quite a bit.
I occasionally write things.
You – dear listeners, can check it out. Do you want to?
It's on it's a website that I ran with a buddy of mine a few years ago. We haven't done anything with it in like 2-3 years, but it's mydarlingatlanta.com. I encourage you to check it out. And the goal is to get people talking and hopefully doing things, because talk is good, but action is best. But yeah, just it's a conversation that a lot of people have been afraid to have, I think, because they're worried about compromising their position wherever they work, or seeming like they're being needy or high maintenance, and none of those concerns should be necessary. You should be able to talk about these things with your coworkers, and just – I mean, hey, if you have a neighborhood bar that you go to, talk to the bartender there. Say, hey, what's going on with you guys? I want to make sure you're safe when you're closing up shop. It's a conversation that needs to be had, frankly. It's long overdue.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had too much loss of life.
I think where I was going with that was can you imagine the guy who wrote that saying juke joint?
Is that the new litmus test for like?
Yeah,
we should be a new segment. Is this racist?
Yeah.
We said it's coming up earlier in other episodes on the show.
Ask the experts. Two sheltered white guys.
It's like a jukebox, right?
Whoa.
Oh, God. You know why I thought it was racist? You know why I thought it was racist? Because when you said it, I wasn't picturing J-U-K-E. I was picturing J-O-O-K. And yeah. that somehow gets into other territory.
Yeah.
But like in soccer, you say like, oh, I juked the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, is that like you played him like a jukebox? Is that like the earlier version of like played him like a Nintendo or like a fiddle?
Well, in hockey, it's a deke.
A deke?
D-E-K-E is like that like.
We're going to have to scrap this whole episode, aren't we? We're going to bleep all this out.
You know.
Get deked? Is that like named after somebody? Like Deke Norris or something?
Yeah, Deke Norris. You nailed it. You
famous hockeyman.
But like, yeah, referring to like deeks and jukes,
this just sounds terrible.
I don't like that.
I don't know. We're trying to be a conciliatory presence in the world, and this is not going well so far. We're like 5 minutes in. But like in soccer, you megged him.
Yeah.
Which is short for nutmeg, which is ostensibly, I think, an anatomical reference. I don't want to get too gross.
It's when you kick the ball through someone's legs.
Yeah, which is like the ultimate chagrin.
I was thinking about this like yesterday.
Of chagrining soccer players?
No, of nutmegging soccer players.
Oh, okay.
I feel like if you meg someone, they're like out for like 5 seconds. They just have to freeze because you've defeated them.
You've defeated them so thoroughly. It's such a soul-crushing
moment.
They
shouldn't – if you ever see a clip of someone just like – like Ronaldo or someone just like doing some stuff on the sideline and then he like megs a guy and then the guy turns around and is able to like get the ball. That doesn't seem right.
It's a deep, deep shame.
Like you need to just stand there frozen like TV tag. I was just thinking about TV tag the other day. You can't move until you say the name of like five TV shows or something.
I was thinking about that the other day. It's such a serendipitous thing that you're bringing up here because I remember it and I only remember it in the context of saying Fright Night. because for some reason, if it was a two-word thing and it rhymed, then you got, like, bonus points or something. I forget.
What?
I don't know. This is like, did I play, like, a weirdly, like, linguistically elevated version of TV tag when I was a kid? Maybe this is where I remember my chops.
I mean, I remember saying, like, Smurfs.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think we had, like, an extended version.
Fright Night.
Yeah, Fright Night rhymed. Kids out there, if you want to start honing their chops early, that sounds weird. This episode's weird so far. Getting weird. You can create new rules, and then your kids can someday grow up to write articles and get lambasted by racist people on the internet.
Absolutely.
But getting back to getting racist, that should not be the name of this.
No,
this
that's
episode.
Not what this is going to be. There's like in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Everywhere else in the country, the game is called Duck Duck Goose. But it has like a different name.
No, Duck Duck Goose is a totally different game. You sit around in a circle.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like in 49 states, the game Duck Duck Goose.
Oh, you're not talking about TV tag?
No.
Oh, different game.
Was the premise that like when you're tagged, then you have to say – it's like freeze tag, but the unfreezing mechanism is reciting the names of TV shows?
It's all the same game when you get down to it. I mean – TV tag, freeze tag, diaper tag, all the tags.
What is diaper tag?
Diaper tag is like you unfreeze somebody by like – it's almost like a quarterback center situation where like they have to like tag you. You put your hand like between your legs through the back of your body, I guess. Basically, you're like in a crouch stance and you're putting your hand
–
and they have to tag – they have to like tag your hand, like give you a little like low five on the sly, but it's between your legs for some reason.
So,
I don't know. It's just an excuse for kids to I'm not going to say touch each other, but you know what I mean.
Okay,
I've been thinking a lot about the human touch. No, go do your
thing. Yeah, let me just say this real quick. In Minnesota, it's called Duck Duck Gray Duck.
Much less interesting name for your game.
Yeah.
Gray Duck?
Gray Duck.
I tell you what, it is a grade A gray day out there today.
That's true.
I've been thinking about the human touch, David, as you know.
Uh-huh. Is this a Springsteen reference, or is this a are you moving into like Genesis territory?
That one's invisible. I just wonder about it is a kind of soft day out there today. And the idea of – you know like how babies like to be swaddled?
Yeah.
Like you went to the drive-in the other night.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, you got one of those babies. And the idea of crying – like a baby crying really just because they want to be picked up and held.
Yeah.
Where does, I'm just wondering like where that – I'm not – this is sort of a rhetorical question. I'm not expecting you to give me an answer here unless you have one. But where that need comes from. Like they do it in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind as well. There's that – where he's kind of himself at his current age, but he's has the mindset of a child in one of those scenes where he's like in the kitchen and there's the giant kitchen table. Remember that?
Kind of.
And he's saying, I wanted to pick me up. I wanted to pick me up. It's such a strong urge. I wonder where that comes from, that kind of thing. Hugged, that kind of thing. You know, just that comforting thing of, you know –
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I have you, like I am taking care of you.
I remember, right? I guess so. I remember in the show Lost, there's a moment where the baby is crying. So what was the baby's name? Not Isaac.
Aaron.
Aaron, yeah, that's right. The baby's crying, and then John Locke walks over and he teaches Claire how to swaddle the kid. And he's saying, you know, kids like the feeling of being constricted. It's not till we're older that we develop the urge for, you know, being free and unconstricted, basically.
Right. Well, it's like cutting off options, you know.
How do you mean by that? Or what do you mean by that?
It's sort of the only thing you can do is just go to sleep. You can't move.
That's fair.
You can't, like.
But I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
Being like, I mean, it's nice to feel, you know, warm and all of that, but at the same time, like, that idea, like, if I were in a straitjacket, I would lose my mind.
Right, but when you were a baby.
Although I guess I would have to lose my mind in order to get in the straitjacket, so probably all good.
Right. Wait. Yeah.
Ostensibly. So wait, if I'm that baby, is I...
No, like, when you were a baby.
I'll allow it.
How did you feel when you were swaddled?
I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
I think that was kind of the joke, is that...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fair. You're working on a kind of pre-verbal level, so yeah, that makes sense. Back to getting nutmegged.
Yeah.
That is what you were saying, so defeated, and a phrase crossed my mind, because we're going in really weird territory. I think maybe it's just like seeping in from my like day-to-day life of having these kind of racist encounters with people. The idea of saying like, oh, you totally owned that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I get what that means,
yeah.
But it's also 2017, and it just seems like talking about people owning other people is probably an outdated phrase that we should probably do away with, you know? Just putting it out there, folks.
I never really thought of that.
I know what it means. And in that moment, like, it's true because you've so deeply, again, I just like saying chagrined because it's just a funny word to me. But yeah, people, you know what you're talking about. And there was a kid on my soccer team who used to do that, like, it was his job, like a boss.
Just meg people?
He just megged. He was a megging machine.
Oh yeah, I had one move to meg people. It was great.
What do you just like? You kind of like you got to get them. You kind of you know tip it to the side, tip a little to the other side.
Yeah,
and spread their legs a little bit. You know
what you do? You put your
this sounds
foot,
weird. This
you put your foot. let's say it's your right foot.
Sure, sure.
Put it on top of the ball. You're going to want to roll it to the right.
Sure. Yeah.
But
that's an advanced move. Rolling the ball with your cleats is it? Yeah.
Yeah, but then make it land so that the ball is still on the instep of your right foot.
Yeah.
You kind of do a lean, and it's like a one. Oh, yeah.
Man, my man's running a straight clinic over here.
That was really the only move I ever had.
That's all you need, really.
Yeah, because you meg them, and then they're out.
Yeah, they can't really come back from that.
It's dodgeball. you're out. I'm sorry.
I have a similar
you
phrase.
Lost.
You lose. You get nothing. I have a phrase from soccer called pulling the goalie. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where you pull the goalie up, and the goalie's basically like, there's just nobody defending your goal, but now you have an extra. It's basically like a power play strategy.
Yeah, like on a corner kick.
Yeah, I'll do that sometimes where I'll just leave the house. Basically what normal people do on like a regular day, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just leave the house and just be like, I'm not going to come home until like after midnight. I'll just decide. Like, I'm pulling the goalie, baby.
That's also a hockey term.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I guess it's basically the same game.
Well, in hockey, it's a little different because you can take the goalie out and then put in a sixth guy. So you have six guys on the ice and no goalie, whereas the other team has five guys on the ice and one goalie. Or
that makes sense because the goalie in hockey is much more encumbered. Now that I'm thinking about that, you don't want that guy. Like,
yeah, no, you
up
don't
in
want
front trying to score goals with all that just extra clothing on and the mask and the whole thing.
Yeah,
and the padding.
I saw a thing
that would look weird
about it was like this science, like. I mean, it was sort of like a Mythbusters type thing.
Science facts.
Where they just put a sumo wrestler and had a hockey – like in a goal and had a hockey player like shoot to see if he could score. Like how much does just like
– he's blocking the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And they scored a lot of goals on him.
Oh, really?
Apparently you need to be like a massive person for that to work.
Well, that's – I mean, talking sumo wrestler, I mean it's getting pretty massive, I would say.
Yeah.
But not big enough, it turns out.
I think they went with, like, what happened if we took the, like, someone who was the fattest person in the world?
Yeah.
Or that sound. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, fattest person. Just sit him down in the goal.
Guinness Book of World Records. Get at me.
And, yeah.
Just block it. Just but that not had work. No real, like, hockey skills or chops, as it were.
Yeah.
But just by sheer virtue of size. Are there other types of wrestling beyond sumo wrestling? Is sumo the only one that really caught on?
Greco-Roman.
But I mean, like, within, like, the culture.
What, of Japan?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's mainly sumo in Japan.
Seems like there'd be other kinds. I don't know, whatever.
Well, I mean, that's just in Japan, though. We've got Greco-Roman
wrestling.
It's big
wrestling. In Japan, yeah.
We've got professional wrestling.
Which,
we've got,
ironically, counterintuitively, is a bit amateurish, in my opinion.
Okay.
Well, you like, no, because I remember, though, one of the first things you said that made me think that you were cool was that you, like, you unabashedly liked professional wrestling.
Yeah.
You liked the show, the pageantry of it, no?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean
you knew going in that it was scripted, right? Like, you figured that out probably in high school, I would imagine. You're a bright guy.
I mean, before high school.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's not.
I don't know that I figured it out until, like, college. I think there's a while where I was like, oh, this looks fake. This looks, but I wasn't really convinced it was fake. But it wasn't really in my, I wasn't, like, ensconced in it.
I've talked about this before. Like, you would, since WCW wrestling was based in Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah. You would just see wrestlers, like, hanging out at, like, Taco Cabana.
Oh, so it was a much more present thing in your, yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's, yeah.
Hanging out at the Taco C. I forgot to slip that in there.
Place is gone now.
Oh, man.
I saw the wrestler Raven and the wrestler Adam Bomb.
Of that So Raven?
Yeah, it was Raven Simone.
Oh, she wrestled. God, she's versatile.
She can do it all. She's a quadruple threat.
That's the fourth one. Yeah. Singing, acting, dancing, wrestling. Get on my level, JT.
Singing, acting, dancing, moonsault off the top rope. Just a backflip.
Moonsault? Is that like a somersault?
Yeah, but it's like a backwards flip off the turnbuckle, usually.
Turnbuckle? I don't even... This is...
The turnbuckle is in the corner where the ropes meet. You've got the pylon type thing.
Yeah.
Okay. You kind of climb up and then stand on the facing away from from your opponent.
You're giving very specific instructions for how to do things today. I like this.
Yeah, well...
Not Megan, you're doing the moonsault. Let's do this.
Very important.
Let's get into it.
So then you do sort of a three-quarter flip.
Sure, backwards. Yeah.
So you would land on your stomach.
That's gutsy.
It's insane. Yeah. And
so you can't hurt. I mean, there's a lot of risk to, you know, I'm sure these people get hurt all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's why, like, so many of them end up addicted to, like, painkillers.
Oh, really? I didn't know that was a thing. The Rock got his start. Dwayne The Rock Johnson got his start in wrestling.
Well, his grandfather was Peter Maivia, who was a famous wrestler, and then his dad was a wrestler, and then he was, I think he joined as Rocky Maivia, and then that's where.
Interesting.
That's where
I didn't know
that.
You're a font of knowledge.
I am
a fountain, if you will.
I saw an ad on some website today that was like, Dwayne Johnson responds to like this website's reports.
Yeah,
and I was like, you know, a lot of people are going down right now. A lot of people, and I was just like, come on, not The Rock. Please don't tell me The Rock is a predator.
We've had...
It was just so poorly worded. And then, like, you click on it and it's like he was given an award and he's responding.
People are also being opportunistic, it seems like. So just to clear his name, to clear his good name, The Rock is so far so good, right?
I love The Rock, yeah.
I was talking with someone recently about kind of like a top five people you hope don't go down.
Oh, yeah.
In the firestorm maelstrom of... sexual abuse allegations.
Yeah, let's go with it.
Steve Martin, I think. I was talking about Steve Martin, and I was saying, I'm really pulling for him. And in the same vein, Bill Murray, you know?
Yeah.
Want him to continue.
I'm going
to
throw The Rock
legit,
in there.
Legit guy.
I am, seriously.
Just pop it in there.
I mean, like, have you seen a movie with The Rock? He's great. He's great in everything.
He seems like an inspiration. Well, folks out there, let us know who you're pulling for. I've been thinking about it in terms of this Weinstein, which, first of all, shouldn't it not be Weinstein?
Just because it's IE?
It's EI, right?
Oh, yeah.
You pronounce the second vowel.
I guess it's not a Germanic.
In a diphthong, right?
Maybe it's not a Germanic pronunciation.
I guess. I don't know. Weinstein. I think it's because this is going to sound weird, but I feel like Weinstein somehow sounds more Jewish. Or no, am I wrong about that?
I don't know.
I think sometimes people, especially in show business, will alter their names to sound more or less of a certain group.
Yeah.
Is that a fair thing to say? I feel like I'm getting into like – I feel like this entire time I've been like kind of tiptoeing around like a giant cauldron of hot water that I'm going to get myself into. But I'm really trying to be constructive, believe it or not. But in this same regard, most of these people, they're all in show business to some degree, but a lot of them are newsmen.
Mm-hmm.
And while people should get what's coming to them, I completely support that. I think it's curious – to me it's curious that – it's kind of starting to gut the media in a way, which I find which I find just something to kind of keep track of, because one of the steps in, you know, toward a fascist country or toward some sort of to control the media is one of the first steps. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I'm not saying this is some huge conspiracy. I'm not saying that this scandal is orchestrated by some puppet regime or whatever. I'm not saying any of that stuff. Totally not disqualifying or discrediting anything. I'm just saying. There's going to be a vacuum of trustworthy people in the news. Like when we were growing up, we had Dan Rather, we had Peter Jennings, we had Tom Brokaw, all these guys. The same way, Edward R. Murrow, Walter Cronkite of a previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm saying is we don't have that many people like that anymore. You know, we had Brian Williams. Now we've got Lester Holt.
Uh-huh.
But there's not this – it's not this kind of like cadre of people that we can assume are just implicitly trustworthy and have got our backs and we'll get to the facts. You know what I mean? So like I guess what I'm saying is like what's Diane Sawyer doing? Is she still around?
I don't know. We were talking about this the other day.
Barbara Walter. Oh, were we?
Yeah, we were talking about like where's Connie Chung at?
Yeah. And sometimes our day-to-day interactions when we don't record ourselves. It'd be weird if we just record ourselves all the time.
It just turns – I was actually thinking about like – you know, today, what if we just like took like a handheld recorder and like went to the aquarium?
Oh yeah,
and just did an episode.
We should do a field trip episode. Around. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Ladies,
step up. Is what I'm saying.
I think.
Please, we need you.
I think it's a combination of a few things. Because I don't doubt that any of the people who have been named, are guilty. But I think that to get to a certain level, I think there's a personality type that also involves a lot of stepping on other people, maybe.
Okay.
and I don't know why. I mean, you got the Matt Lauer thing, which is just horrific.
Yeah,
I mean, just like the.
Do you
like
have a button on in this room that'll lock the doors? That's just mind blowing to me that was allowed to happen.
No,
because it's him and like George Burns, right? Or Monty Burns, sorry.
Oh,
let's leave George Burns out of this. Sorry.
Famous old guy.
Yeah, I don't want to malign the good name of George Burns.
you devil!
He was kind of just famous for being old, wasn't he?
I think at a certain point,
yeah.
Well, originally it was Gracie.
Goodnight Gracie.
Yeah, Goodnight Gracie.
He started as like a kind of Borscht Belt, like vaudevillian kind of comic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then like
the George Burns that we grew up with, he was kind of famous for just like having survived and still like sucking down cigars and all that.
Yeah, pretty much.
I knew him as a kind of famous old guy, but he was around a lot. When
I knew him from Oh God.
Yes.
I knew him from Oh God, You Devil.
Oh God, You Devil, classic with John Denver, right?
Yeah. Oh shit, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Matt Lauer.
But then, like, I mean, it's not like – who are the other big media people that are coming? I mean, like, can we really consider Garrison Keillor to be, like, a big media
– I mean, he's been a big presence in my life just because of Writer's Almanac.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's like a – I mean, I don't want to diminish the man's output, but, I mean, he's somebody that I've been aware of for a good long while. I think Charlie Rose is somebody that it was one of the last
Charlie Rose. I forgot about him.
He's a big one. Like, that's a guy that I would kind of count on for objectivity, which isn't
absolutely
to say that people are not. It's not that they're no longer objective or that they're worse at doing their job doing the news. They just aren't allowed to do it anymore because, well, you just can't get away with this shit, you know.
Yeah,
you have to leave the party.
I think there's also less tolerance for it, or there should be.
Yeah,
just like if someone is supposed to be telling you what is true and what is not, if they mess up one time, that calls into question everything.
No, like, I mean, Brian Williams basically had to recuse himself. Yeah. I don't even remember if he was fired. I think he may have stepped down because he had mistold a story about being on a helicopter or something like that.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, because of this one foul up, he's saying like, well, now you are fallible and now you have to excuse yourself because you cannot be counted on because you're not 100% consistent all the time.
Yeah, same thing happened with –
that seemed excessive to me in his case.
With – I think it was Dan Rather who was the one who reported some story about – W. Bush about his National Guard tenure.
Oh, yeah.
And it turned out to not be like a fully vetted source, maybe.
Either way, like,
I don't know. And then everyone was just like, well, Dan Rather, you're a liar now.
Yeah, that's not reasonable to me to be allowed some leeway and say, like, hey, we got it wrong.
Yeah.
Our bad, you know?
Yeah.
Here's a correct. I mean, newspapers print corrections all the time, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to add Ira Glass.
The film? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Ira Glass can go on that list of
people you really
people
want,
like
wanna,
just don't like be cool, man.
Rock steady, yeah,
yeah.
Just be cool. It's the new motto.
It's really just people like Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah,
just
I'm pretty sure
you're cool, but like, please,
I'm wary of saying more names only because like I feel like even saying people's names in the general like neighborhood of this topic is a you know. So yeah, let's stop it there. I want to talk to you about – we saw a film the other day.
A film and can I say it? It was a banger.
It was a real banger and I'm not going to make a banger and mash pun. There's really not one there. It was fantastic.
It was great.
Banger is – I've heard banger referring to sausages and songs.
Songs.
Fairly recently though. Is that a recent term or am I just kind of slow in the uptake here?
I mean, you know, like within the past decade.
It's a banger. It's like kind of something like a fist pumping.
It's a club banger, I believe. Sure.
It makes you want to like do a little like Arsenio Dog Pound. Like, yeah.
Well,
go for it.
Uh-huh. No, it's one that that, you know, you're at the club.
Sure.
And the DJ drops the needle on that new banger. And
we're so white.
Everyone is just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to the dance floor. This is my jam. This is a real club banger. And, like, everyone's out there.
Wait,
just...
club anger?
Yeah.
That's not my kind of club.
This club sucks. I don't want to be a member of this. I think it's relatively – I think maybe 3-4 years ago, Miley Cyrus put out an album called Bangers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With a Z?
With a Z.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
No way.
And I think this was right around the time she started collaborating with the Flaming Lips.
Oh, I didn't know that ever happened.
Oh, yeah. I kind of like it. Actually, I think she's great. I'm not going to lie. She's a real talent.
I haven't said anything to the contrary. You seem defensive already going just out of the gate here.
No, I'm not defensive at all about professional wrestling, but...
Hey, like what you like.
The movie we saw.
It was fantastic.
It was.
This is the bit. No,
yeah,
we just
the bit is that we don't know.
No, but the name of the movie was short.
It was a short name.
This is probably really obnoxious to people. No, we saw
movie.
We saw a movie in the Starlight Drive-In movie theater. The same screen where I remember the very first time I went to the drive-in movie theater was with you. I think it was like 7 years ago. You and Keely were still dating at this point. It was early in your relationship. And we did a swanky drive-in where there was like wine and cheese and stuff. I'd never been to the drive-in, I think, since I was a kid. I think the very first movie I saw was at the drive-in.
Okay.
So it was cool to see Clark see her first movie at the drive-in as well.
Yeah. It was great.
I barely remember anything about it. I think we saw E.T. when I was really, really young.
What was the first one you saw at this drive-in in Atlanta?
It was with you, and it was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows...
Part one, I think.
And so we went and
we were like desperately trying to explain the plot of the previous six movies.
You were like really trying to like, cause there was a group of us. You were like, okay, so here's what's going on. All right. So that's Voldemort. And like, dude, you're not going to explain six feature length films to me in the time it takes. You know, just let me hang back. I think we had some Guinness and a little whiskey and we're like, I'm just going to hang back and just admire the graphics. Cause that was the one that had the cool animated thing in the middle of it.
About the
three guys or whatever. That was a great movie, and I felt like I was basically able to catch on. I mean, those movies are fantastic, but there is a pretty fantastic template that goes along with it, you know. So like they'll kind of, you know, start
It's
the similar kind of comedic beat or something where like he's back home, he gets rescued, you know.
It is sort of like the hero's journey.
No, absolutely.
But
that time when we went to the wrong screen.
We were watching Men in Black 3.
No, it was something horrific. It was something where like I thought it was a preview. And the guy enters the door and these guys barge in. And next thing you know, like his wife and his kids are tied up. And we're like, this is a really dark preview.
Like American Gangster or something like that.
Something like
that.
Like
Denzel was in it.
Denzel was in it, your boy. Yeah. And then we realized like we've been watching this for like 15 minutes. And then at some point we realized it wasn't a preview of a very dark R-rated film for a PG-rated movie. We were just at the wrong screen. So we had to like, you know, do that whole thing. You turn around, you're going over the hips. The hills
humps.
And valleys. Yeah, the humps. To get to the other screen. But it was fun. So the film we saw was
I thought it was brilliant.
It was – all right. I'm going to put an end to this bit right now.
Okay.
You want to take a break?
Yeah. Let's – we'll be right back.
The movie we saw was – I came in like a wreck.
Okay, we're back.
And we're back.
Hey.
Hello.
All
so
right.
You saw me. So you saw a movie with me. I was there.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Do you want to talk about it?
The battery in the car died.
Yeah. In the movie? At the movie. Yeah. Yeah, that happened. And then they sent someone out. So they fixed it, right? They give you a jump start?
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, you were there.
Yeah, I was. I'm just, you know, for the listener's sake, you know.
Keely and I bought a bucket of Popeye's fried chicken.
Yeah, you did.
And sat in the back of our Honda.
Smelled delicious.
And it was good. It's good stuff. Drink some beers. Had a few laughs.
Yeah.
Watched a movie.
Good times. So let's talk about this movie.
Okay.
Are we still doing the thing?
No, let's just talk about it. Coco. Right.
Yeah. Whoa.
Sorry.
Spoiler. Yeah, I specifically wanted to see this movie with you because you know what it was? I saw the Onion article.
Yeah.
There was an Onion review of the movie, something along the lines of they were kind of lambasting the movie because it spends roughly the entire movie in the afterlife, yet does absolutely nothing to solve the 1981 death of Natalie Wood. It's like pitch perfect. The guy's just like completely bewildered, like
it utterly fails.
Yeah, it's just like, he's at the Day of the Dead. He's meeting all these people, and yet does absolutely nothing. He could have sought out her ghost immediately.
And man, it was a great movie.
No, I loved it. I wanted to see it with you specifically because I thought it might have some Dante parallels and overtones.
Yeah, and it did.
It turns out it did. Yeah. On the very immediate level of his dog's name is Dante,
and his dog is like his spirit guide.
Yeah, I think they make a joke about like good spirit guide.
Yeah,
And then the guy, there's another guy who I think it's just a passing reference, but I think his horse is also named Dante.
Yeah, because that's when I was saying Andante Dante.
Oh, yeah, like Andante.
Yeah,
like the musical cue in Italian.
Yeah, like if you're saying like go faster, horse.
Yeah. Schnell.
Someone had a child with me. Oh, gosh. Yeah. So
I thought you – so you're saying – the joke you're making is like someone actually had a
– yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you have a fathered a child with – yeah.
Right.
I thought you were saying someone had a child with you like at the movies. Like you're talking about your wife, right? Like she was there. Like you had a child with you at the movie theater. Yeah. Sorry, I get it now.
I didn't really explain the joke or I didn't really set the joke up that well. Were there other connections?
Well, there's the immediate one of, let me think here. It's cause it starts, I don't want to spoil anything, but I mean, just, it's not like a, I don't know. It's not the kind of movie that you really can spoil, I don't think. And we're not giving away major plot points or anything, but the way that he transfers into, so the basic plot is there's a kid, he wants to be a musician. His music is outlawed in his family because of some history, you know, with a, previous relation, I guess his great grandfather or great, great, whatever. And then it's a first, the pop filter just completely collapses on top of the microphone. So he somehow gets magically transported to, on the Day of the Dead, he becomes one of the spirits that are able to visit and see, they can see the living, but the living can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he does it, I think is by strumming a guitar, right?
Yes.
It's kind of like, there's probably a name for this trope on like TVtropes.com or something, which is a fantastic website. But that idea of like that classic line in Master of None, it's got to be a Harris Whittles line where he said he's giving an excuse for something and he says, got struck by lightning while holding hands with a third grader. Now I'm late for class. Which is like, I don't know for a fact that Harris Whittles wrote that, but like that has to have been Harris Whittles writing that.
Yeah, that's got to be him.
But that kind of like Freaky Friday thing where like
wheat
there's
– Wheat thins.
Coming back from their wheat thicks.
Yeah. Give me that wheat.
People out there, if you're not familiar with the fantastic work of Harris Whittles, please look him up. There's – I would probably start with the Harris Whittles foam corner.
Harrison's foam corner. Yeah. on that's a Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah, but there's segment. Just compilations of it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. It's phenomenal. He's one of – he passed away, I believe, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But he was pretty amazing.
But there's some – so the idea is there's some magical occurrence like in TV shows. A lot of times it's like somebody hits their head and they get amnesia or something. You know, like there's some kind of magical thing that happens that puts them in a situation that wouldn't be explainable otherwise, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like and Dorothy, then, Wizard of Oz. Like,
yeah, that's right. What was that for her? Did she just pass out?
It was like a tornado or something.
It's a twister.
A twister.
And he gets to visit his – I feel like – I mean insofar as there are people who are deceased who first of all need to be remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And not just in a way – like if you remember in Hell, a lot of people don't want to be remembered.
Yeah.
But then in Purgatory – there's some people who want to, but in Purgatory, they need it because mm-hmm. it helps kind of spur their journey on.
Yeah,
the more prayers they get.
Yeah, and that seemed to be a lot like what was going on because there's a big one of the characters who's like a famous person.
Yeah,
he has a huge feast because you know people go to his gravesite and put down food and flowers.
Yeah,
and so he just takes that and has a big party.
Yeah. And there are other people who are kind of disappearing almost like Back to the Future style,
mm-hmm.
where if there's no one left on Earth who remembers them, then they're kind of spirit or they're basically skeletons, which is partly for comedic effect, I guess. But they disappear completely, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer haunt that kind of realm. But it's not really a purgatorial realm, right? It's just
I think that's like the final spot.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Because they leave and come back. Like they have like a passport and they have to leave a certain city to get to their hometown.
Yeah.
On the Day of the Dead, like they get their passport stamped and they go and they do the thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, anyway, in that regard, there's not really. I feel like there were and it wasn't ever really like heavy handed or anything. But yeah, like there was a nod to the fact that
the dog be named Dante just felt like a. You know, tongue in cheek, kind of
just
like,
a way of saying like we're aware of this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. And you can't really cover that and not acknowledge.
Yeah, just a nod is all you need, and that was really all it took. Was I mean,
just a little wink.
Yeah, just something, give him a little, not even like full on homage.
Yeah,
or tribute.
Yeah,
just give me a little nod. I want to talk about really anything but this canto. This canto is a really tough one.
Yeah. There was one character.
Who, I don't want to. We don't have to jump right into it. I don't want to let the time get away from us either.
I just want to make sure we bring up Rahab.
Oh, Rahab. I thought you were saying Rahap, Rahab. He's like a football player or something.
Rahab. There is a baseball player. It was J.A. Happ.
Oh, sure. Yeah. What a world.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive. So Rahab, we're still in the sphere of Venus, right? It picks up right where it left off. I forgot. We haven't done this in a while. Last one was the one where we were talking about the wrong Charles Martel the entire time.
Yeah.
Right? That was fun. So Carlo Martello, he's talking to him. This one's a little bit confusing in that several different people are talking and it's kind of hard to keep track of. And the people they're talking about are also really hard to keep track of.
Yes.
But basically it's about Eros, not arrows. Like bow and arrows, but Eros, which is erotic love, which sounds racier than it is. Basically, like according to C.S. Lewis, there's the four loves, right? There's Eros, there's Storge, which is like familial love, mm-hmm. affection, okay. Affection essentially. It can be for your friends as well. Philia, which is also kind of filial love,
brotherly love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then, and maybe I'm mixing those two up because maybe philia is brotherly in the sense of it's the family, and storge is just affection, like, I don't know, like you would love someone in a more abstract way. Agape is kind of like God love, but it's also the kind of love that I could have for someone, like for all mankind in a way.
Okay.
Like I see Sally Struthers with someone suffering on, you know, television in an infomercial or whatever. And like, uh-huh. Oh, I love that kid in Ethiopia or wherever. Just in that kind of agape way, you know. Interestingly enough, also the word agape, which means something completely different. Just wide open.
Yeah.
Much like my agape love. The H is O.
The heater is on.
Yeah, we're leaving the heat on today because it's just too damn cold.
It's supposed to snow.
Really?
In Atlanta on
this is
Friday.
This is one of the weird things about Atlanta. Like, we can go back to the canto.
Yeah, we'll get there in a second.
It's 41 degrees and raining outside right now.
Yeah.
It's frigging cold out right now.
Yeah,
and I'm saying that as a dude from the Great White North, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Canada.
I checked – so before I leave the house, I check what the temperature is to know like how, you know, how to dress, you know, like jacket-wise. And then I ask, what's the low temperature for tonight? It's 41 degrees right now. Low temperature for tonight is 42 degrees.
Yeah.
How does that work? Cloud cover, I guess?
I don't really know.
Is the time of year when being in Atlanta is a little bit of a bummer for me, only because where it's 41 and raining here, it would be 31 and snowing in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And it's just so – I mean, I know it's easy to get nostalgic. Having – snow is beautiful. It's fantastic. It's a wonderful change of pace and change of scenery. It's also just a pain to deal with. So, like, I'm not trying to overly romanticize it.
Right.
When you're trying to get to work or trying to get to school or whatever.
Well,
you know?
Like, 35 and rainy is – it's like what we get a lot of.
Yeah.
And it's just the worst.
Yeah, it's bad. It's just dismal, you know?
Yeah.
At least snow, it's like you can be like, hey, it's snowing, you know?
Yeah.
Snow brings out the best in your neighbors usually. You know, you help each other out.
Yeah.
Maybe the kids go out, a little shovel, you know, make a little scratch on the side.
In Atlanta, that tends to be the time when everyone leaves their houses and goes to because everything shuts down.
Yeah.
So you find like the one or two bars that are open and everyone just sort of hangs out and has a day off.
It's fantastic, and they've got nothing to really do. They don't really generally have any responsibilities that I'm aware of because it's just this unexpected snow day thing. Yeah, Atlanta's really not built for – I mean, people give Atlantans a hard time about with completely no justification. The city's just not built for snow. I mean, like, literally the trees buckle under the least amount of ice. The power lines, kind of same thing. Mm-hmm. We're just not built for it, you know? And so – it's very easy for the infrastructure to kind of collapse with very little provocation. Like an inch of snow or an inch of ice can cause significant outages. But anyway, it's a weird weather report in the middle of that.
back to the canto.
This has been. The canto is – I went back to the Digital Dante thing too to try to make some sense of this or make heads or tails. I read through it twice and it's – the only thing I could really glean from it is that – he's got an unexpectedly progressive view of Eros, given that he was hard on the lustful in Canto 5 of Inferno with Francesca and Paolo.
Yeah.
There's another one in Purgatorio 26. I'm trying to remember the specifics of that, but I remember that got name dropped as well, or that got referenced as well. In terms of him being a pretty hardline, having a hardline stance on lust.
Mm-hmm.
And then here, all of a sudden, he's putting prostitutes in heaven, which seems like a bold move.
Yeah.
What were you going to say about that? Well, you're going to talk about Rahab.
Yeah, Rahab is interesting because – so her backstory is that the Israelites are in the desert. They are on basically like on a holy rampage, just like killing everyone.
Yeah.
And they have the Ark of the Covenant with them, which a lot of people think is actually a weapon, which is really fascinating.
Is it conventionally – I think I'm mixing it up with the Grail.
The Grail –
the Lost Ark.
The Lost Ark is the Ten Commandments, the Ark of the Covenant, the covenant being the gift of law.
Okay.
On Mount Sinai.
By the way, the holiday season's coming up. Let me tell you what is not a big hit. The gift of law. Don't give me law, please. It's just the lamest. So give me a fruitcake or something.
So Joshua has taken over for Moses. This is in the book of Judges. They go through a series of people who are the leaders after Moses is not allowed to go into the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they get to Jericho, mm-hmm. famous walled city of Jericho.
Big wall, big time.
And the plan is that they're going to circle the city like seven times or something and then blow these trumpets and the entire city is going to crumble.
Sheesh.
Yeah, there's like Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, that song.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in on a little recon mission. They bring back all these ridiculous things like grapes the size of people's heads.
Yeah.
And they meet this one woman named Rahab who I think the original translation says that she's like basically an innkeeper.
Okay.
Or maybe – no, Josephus is the one who says she's an innkeeper.
Is that just like a euphemism? They're just being nice?
Well, that's the thing. There's a question of whether or not was she an innkeeper or was there like an – was it like a brothel?
A lady of the night.
Yeah. So anyway, much like Mary Magdalene, it's possible that she has sort of in a revisionist way been recast as a prostitute.
Okay.
The point is Dante would have no idea about that.
It is the oldest profession.
That's true. That's true. Rahab helps them. Helps them like figure out how they're going to destroy the city. And then afterwards she hangs a thing out of her window, like a long rope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of like the Passover thing. That's the sign that the destruction should miss her.
Oh, okay.
So she and I think her family, if she had one,
yeah.
They survive and everyone else is taken captive and –
I love that I can count on you to know this stuff because I've forgotten so much of this stuff from Sunday school and all that growing up. So it's you're just a font of knowledge once again. I feel like rehab helps a lot of people though, so I'm not really sure what. sorry, I was going to do a whole thing, but I just pretend like I thought you were mispronouncing the word rehab. That's probably not very good.
No, that's good.
But he's. It says somewhere there's a note. I think it's the Mandelbaum note. It would help if I had the right book in my hand, not Purgatorio. Paradiso, that's the one. I've got a post-it setting it up. It says somewhere that she was the first person admitted to heaven.
Yeah, that's what
– In St. Paul, Letter to the Hebrews, right?
I actually don't know her New Testament story.
Let's see. I'm looking here. I thought that it said something about that. Maybe I'm making that up. Or maybe I read it. It's also possible that I read it in – the digital Dante thing.
It's actually in the canto. They say that she was the first one admitted to heaven after – and it was like a – basically like a trophy celebrating Jesus's victory over death.
Oh, yeah. That's where it is.
Yeah.
And the note says – it tells the story of Rahab hid in her house, the two messengers from Shittim – shit you not – sent by Joshua to spy, etc. For St. Paul, Rahab was an example of salvation by faith. Quote, it was by faith that Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies and so was not killed with the unbelievers. Unbelievers. while for St. James, she illustrates salvation by good works. I guess because she was a prostitute and then she became kind of virtuous after the fact or she did a good turn by these people.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm assuming that after she did this good thing, she also stopped prostituting herself.
I don't know. Well, I mean, all of her clientele were dead.
Fair. If there's ever a good time for a career change.
There's a really good episode of, I think it's Radiolab, that they go into would it be possible for sound vibrations to destroy a wall?
When you say they're going to circle it seven times, you mean like seven deep? Like there's going to be a layer, like layered?
No, there were only like 4,000 Hebrews or something like that. So they can't like circle it like Hands Across America style.
Right.
I think they just like walk around it and all the people in the city are like, what's going on? And then they stop and they blow the horns and then
what did they come up with?
Come a tumbling down.
Sure, sure. What did they come up with? Did they find out it was possible or what?
No. Well, it would have to be just like, I mean, that's sort of like there are a lot of interesting theories about the Ark of the Covenant and basically that it could be some sort of like sonic warfare is one of them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it happen sometimes like in movies where they have a really high-pitched thing
mm-hmm.
that somehow incapacitates people, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like a dog whistle or something.
It's actually been going on in the American Embassy in Cuba. There was like an acoustic terrorist attack.
Acoustic coup?
Yeah. Acoustic coup!
What did that entail?
Basically just
just play lots of like
just like silent just, torture that like drove a few like the ambassador and the is it charge d'affaires? What how is that pronounced?
I don't know the word you're talking about, but it would probably be d'affaires. Oh wait, Cuban would be Spanish, huh?
Well, yeah, but this is just like the
oh.
The title for some reason is in – anyway, so they had kind of like mental effects and had to come home.
By just playing different frequencies?
I think so. I mean, it's like, you know, like there's like the trope of the brown note.
Oh, yeah.
Similar.
On like the league or is that like – is that known beyond the league?
I mean, it's – I don't know what its origin is.
Yeah.
But it's like definitely a thing where like if you – I don't know, like 14 to 23 –
well, there's also something like that. I remember an old Fish bootleg back in the day. You know, talking about the idea that everything that the entire universe vibrates at a certain rate,
uh-huh.
and if you can get in tune with that, it's like biorhythms and all that. I would say there's also the trope.
Yeah, that's
of,
that's a big Tesla, Nikola Tesla.
Oh,
like vibration.
I'm
of the
tempted
universe.
To believe that. He seems like he knew what he was talking about most of the time.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
David Bowie played him in
exactly. Yeah. Just think of that. So you know he's legit. In the Prestige, fantastic.
Yeah, that's I couldn't remember what it
was magic called. Movie. That was another movie that came out. This happened to several films. The Prestige came out around the same time as The Illusionist.
Yeah,
and I think was
also Burt Wonderstone. Maybe
is that another one?
It was like Steve Carell as a
oh
like
maybe
a comedy. Thing. Yeah,
where like people get them mixed up. The same thing happened with The Thin Red Line and Saving Private Ryan. And I think 98, I want to say, or 99.
I still get mixed up between The Thin Red Line and The Thin Blue Line.
Oh, me too. Yeah, that was a kind of documentary, right? About
also
police.
Deep Impact, Armageddon.
Fair, yeah.
Dante's Peak and Volcano.
Yeah, Joe versus the Volcano as well.
I get that mixed up.
I had a recent one. I asked people if I did an online poll for the thing I was writing. Which is funny because I've realized now in hindsight, I asked people if I just said the guy from Equilibrium, if they would know what I was talking about, and nobody knew what I was talking about. And I just used it anyway as like a reference point. I'm talking about Christian Bale when he does like the gun foo where he's going in and just like being a total badass.
I've never seen Equilibrium.
He walks into a room and is just like basically surrounded by people pointing weapons at him and he just like kills all of them basically just with like two handguns. It's crazy. It's like kung fu with guns, gun foo, whatever. But the movie Equilibrium was almost unanimously mixed up with either Johnny Mnemonic or The Matrix. It's like, well, it's all kind of the same movie, you know? There's a lot of things like
mnemonic.
That. But there's also the trope of the woman singing an opera note or something
yeah.
and shattering the glass. Which brings us back full circle, which is kind of perfect timing because we're talking about the likelihood of laying siege to Jericho with nothing but trumpets, probably about as likely as Emilio Estevez's character breaking that glass in the high school in The Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Well, he had weed power.
Boom, callback. He didn't have that weed power.
he had that reefer madness.
He's fueled by rage and reinforced with space age technology. Oh, God. What time is it? We should probably get out of here. We didn't really talk about the book very much.
We talked about Rahab.
Yeah.
She's up
and
there.
People, if you're out there, yeah, help is just a phone call away. So if you need to get into some rehab,
mm-hmm.
That's not really a funny bit.
But, I mean, no, it's also a good point. Like, you know what? Don't be afraid to ask for help.
This is just like we should end every episode with just like, hey, and by the way, kids. We just have like a really serious note, like a little after school special.
Yeah,
like,
so knowing is half the battle.
we don't have the sound drops. We need the more you know sound drop right now. That'd be perfect. Are we doing those anymore? Or are we just the?
Yeah, we should.
We just forget to load them up, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
We just we're really trying to get in and out.
Yeah, the keyboard's over there.
Oh, cool. Well, maybe next time we'll get them back in there. Get a few My Mans and all that. All right, well, let's get out of here. Our theme song is "Hell on You" by An English Place. I am Paul Cantrell.
I'm David Fountain.
And we'll see you in hell.